BBC News with Michael Poles. A leader of the Islamist movement Hamas, who'd argued for suicide bombings against Israelis, has been killed by an Israeli airstrike against Gaza. Nizar Rayan's house was bombed in the first lethal attack on a Hamas leader in nearly a week of Israeli air raids. At least 10 other people, including some of Nizar Rayan's wives and children, were killed. Musa al-Masri, a spokesman for Hamas, condemned the action and warned of grave consequences for Israel.
This is a serious development in Zionist violence, criminality and terrorism against the sons of the Palestinian people. Targeting an entire square and houses in a clear manner is a despicable crime.
The Israeli Foreign Minister, Tzipi Livni, has ruled out the prospect of a ceasefire to allow aid into Gaza. Speaking in Paris, where she met President Sarkozy, Ms. Livni said there was no humanitarian crisis in Gaza. She said the Israeli campaign was weakening Hamas by destroying its infrastructure. A spokeswoman for the Israeli military, Major Avital Leibovich, said rocket attacks by Hamas were decreasing.
The average capability of Hamas is to launch something like 200 rockets a day. And currently the number has decreased to something between 40 and 80 a day. Now, it's not a complete crippling, however. It is weakening their capability. But this is only the sixth day, you know. These things take time, and it's really premature to assess the rate of success.
The governing party in Ghana has said it'll boycott the vote on Friday in the one constituency which hasn't yet voted in the presidential election. A party official said the atmosphere in the Tyne constituency, where voting has been delayed, was not conducive to a free and fair election. The outcome in Tyne could decide who will be Ghana's next president. Will Ross reports from the Ghanaian capital, Accra.
The governing party's Nana Akufo-Addo cannot realistically win enough votes on Friday to overturn the narrow lead held by John Atta Mills of the opposition. The governing NPP party is now boycotting the vote, saying it would not be free and fair. It's headed to the courts to try to stop the election from going ahead. Both sides have alleged vote rigging during this keenly fought contest. Facing defeat by a narrow margin, senior NPP officials are meeting, and observers of this election suggest the party is now split on whether Nana Akufo-Addo should accept defeat.
The veteran South African politician Helen Suzman has died. She was 91. For many years, she was the only outspoken opponent of apartheid in South Africa's all-white parliament. She was one of the few politicians to visit and befriend Nelson Mandela while he was in jail and secured improved conditions for political prisoners. The governing African National Congress said she'd been a thorn in the flesh of apartheid. The leader of the official opposition, Helen Zille, said Mrs. Suzman had been a giant in the history of South Africa's march to democracy. World News from the BBC. Cuba has been marking the 50th anniversary of its revolution, but without the presence of the man who led it, Fidel Castro. Now 82, he has not appeared in public since undergoing surgery more than 2 years ago. Fidel Castro, who handed over the presidency to his younger brother Raúl nearly a year ago, sent a message of greeting to the Cuban people. Raúl Castro said on state television that Cubans should feel proud of having endured American sanctions. Russia has assured European Union countries that they've nothing to fear from its move to cut off gas supplies to Ukraine over a payment dispute. The state energy company Gazprom said it had actually increased the volume of gas flowing to the EU. From Moscow, Rupert Wingfield Hayes reports.
Russia's latest shutdown of gas supplies to Ukraine has once again shown just how dependent the whole of Europe now is on Russian energy. 3 years ago, an almost identical cut-off led to gas shortages as far away as France. This year, Europe is lucky. A mild winter means there are more gas supplies in reserve. And so far, Ukraine has stuck to its promise not to disrupt flows across its territory to Europe.
Britain has joined Portugal in pressing other European countries to take in prisoners from the American detention centre at Guantanamo Bay to help President-elect Barack Obama close the camp after he takes office. Some of the 250 remaining inmates have been cleared for release, but there's concern that they could face persecution if they return to their home countries. The Vatican says it'll no longer automatically adopt Italian law as its own. The Pope has decided that from New Year's Day, the Vatican authorities will first examine Italian laws before deciding whether to adopt them. A leading Vatican lawyer said there were too many new laws, and they were unstable and frequently at odds with principles of the Catholic Church. Experts believe the Vatican is trying to assert its legal independence in areas such as civil union.